Lord, we pray for our time in listening. We pray for each life. Thank you for direction. We are hungry for guidance. We are thirsty and hungry tonight for a word in season, for encouragement, for wisdom, and love and faith. Thank you for each one and what you have done and are doing amongst us for Bible College in the fall, for our country, for many to come to you, to be born again in a new capacity for life through the new birth, for a hunger, for wisdom, for to love our Bible, to learn your way, your mind. Thank you. Bless. In Jesus' name, amen. There's one proverb I want to share tonight and speak about it, and we'll go around to different ways and think about it tonight as a meditation and a message. So it's Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. All right, so let's say that together. Wisdom is, okay, we got too lofty. I've got King James. Maybe that's New King James. Same thing. Here we go. We'll use this one. Wisdom is too high for a fool. So would you say that with me? Think about it. Is it too high for a fool? Is it? Is wisdom too high for a fool? Is it? You know, that's the thought. All right, so you turn it around different ways and think about it and question it and meditate on it and learn it. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Okay, so talk about it with your neighbor for a minute. Say, did you know that wisdom is too high for a fool? I have no idea what that means, but it's in the Bible. All right, go ahead, just for a minute. Now, Sunday morning, I got this from Jesse Fires. He shared it with me, and it's Proverbs 16, verse 3. I don't know all that he said to me, but I remember how I heard it, and I want to share it. I shared that Sunday morning. It's Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Do you remember that on Sunday morning? Okay, did you remember the little diagram we did, the picture? Okay, it goes like this. Here's me, and then there's God. And what does it say? Commit your works to God, and he establishes your thoughts. So it goes this way. I commit to God my works, my effort, my program, my plan, even my everyday activity. I'm going to go to the store. I'm thinking about buying a car or a house or about getting married or whatever it is. I'm including God, a small thing maybe. I'm going to get in my car and drive down the road. I commit it to the Lord. Now, it says he establishes my thoughts. So this is a beautiful picture of how God helps my thinking, of how he complements my life, how he helps me to focus. He establishes my thoughts. This is the beginning of wisdom, is to fear God, include God in my life. This is beautiful. It's another version of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. So the other picture is this one. It's very natural. A man has his plans, and they are his plans. He thinks of them in his terms, and he has his thoughts. This is the world that he lives in. Is there any wonder that he cannot, is it any wonder that there are times he's confused? Because he has his thoughts, based on his plan and what he's doing and how he's going to do it and for what reason he's doing it. But what if a believer has a blessing because he is committing it to God, and in that he is saying, this is about you. I commit it to you. I want to do the right thing. I want to do it for the glory of God with the right reason. And I'm trusting your Holy Spirit. It's your work. I praise you. This world, this life here is really a form of worship, isn't it? We're in Abraham's servant. He said, God led me along the way when he went to find a wife for Isaac. Remember the story, Genesis 24. And he said, I was in the way and the Lord led me, because he trusted the Lord for this. This way of thinking is too high for the fool. And now, what is a fool? A fool is simply a person. They could be very intelligent, but they have the model is wrong. It's this one. They could be very gifted, but they don't have God in their life. The fool has said in their heart, no God. We have it translated, there is no God, but that's not correct. In the Hebrew, it says, no God. No God. God is not in their thinking. They don't need him. They don't know about him. And here's the bad picture is this one, that you have two men and they end up going with two different ways. And that's really what I want to share. I want to speak about it. And have you think about it with me and pray the Lord to speak to our hearts about it in a good way, edifying us, because we are afraid that this man develops lust. And it can be, it's a lust, desire, and appetite without understanding. He doesn't have understanding. He doesn't have it. He doesn't know where it takes him, and he doesn't understand it. And if you talk to him, your way of talking to him, like it's maybe, well, as it says in the proverb, is too high. Because his appetite is here. And there's a blindness there. And it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And if you talk to them, it's like they don't have the appetite, they don't have the spiritual hunger or the desire, because that must come by trust. This is Hebrews 11:6, isn't it? They that come to God must believe he is, and a rewarder. What does it mean, rewarder? Yeah, it means that your life gets established. This man here, this person who's not including God in his life, he is he suffers. He suffers from it. And we'll look at that in a minute, but I think I've made the point here. There is a real battle in the lives of people, and it's very simple. It's very simple, but it's too much. You get what I'm saying, okay? I wrote down here, the lust of sin the sin nature and the demonic energy. The demonic energy, because demons are attracted to this. And they have some ability. We don't know how it works, but there's some ability that demons have to energize people through their sin nature. And in Genesis 19, and I've been fascinated by this chapter because it's the chapter about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and how the lust of those men was so strong. It's like they're out of their minds. They're pushing on the door. They're at night there. They're at the morning. They want to have relations with those two men that are visiting Lot, who are actually angels. And they are driven. They are very much driven by this incredible, insatiable lust and desire. If you were to preach the gospel to those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's too high for a fool. They can't get it. And unfortunately, it can happen in the church, that people do not have a capacity for understanding. And this is what has happened to you. What has happened to you is that you have learned to trust God, and that's the beginning of the wisdom. Now it's not too high for me. I can get it, I understand it, or I receive. Actually, it's creating in me a spiritual hunger and a desire. I like it. I'm learning it. I'm hearing it. It's feeding me. It's interesting to me. It's motivating me. It's applicable. It's something I can take with me. I'm learning about it. It's growing in wisdom in Colossians 1:9 and Philippians 1:9. Growing in the grace and knowledge of 2 Peter 3:18. And so that's the message for tonight. Okay. There we go. So that's it. I mean, I'm going to speak for another hour, so don't even think it's over. Okay. All right. Wisdom is too high for a fool. So here's a foolish man, and he has his lust patterns and his mind, his words. And his words are every time, many times, years, same vocabulary, same words, and same lust, and same appetites. And the world is there. They're kind of caught. They're kind of caught in a bubble of self. And you could meet them years later. Maybe you've met them at your high school graduation. You can meet them later, and you just wonder. And not judging people, but having care. Care about people. And care about what can happen, what God can do in their life. And care about them. So now they have a marriage problem. And so they just talk. The problem is just back and forth. And they don't have the wisdom. They don't have the wisdom. One of them doesn't have. Both of them don't have. And it's just a cycle. And it's very common in our, I'm not talking about a small minority of people in the United States. We're talking about a very, very big, a very common thing. So what if this man also has, we can put down marriage, children, work, education, all kinds of things that people do. They live their life. You can put down money, habits, all kinds of, the way we live as people. They don't need the church. They don't need the Bible. If you say read the Bible, they don't care about it. Religiously, they might say, I read the Bible. But do they read the Bible? I don't know. I'm just saying in this proverb, it may be too high for me. Wisdom is too high for me. And the people I hang out with, we never talk about, we talk about our problems, we talk about what's not right, we talk about issues from our culture and habits that we have and things we enjoy and so on, but it's a small world. Wisdom is too high, because wisdom is a God thing, and wisdom is given to you and I. And if any man lacks it, God gives it liberally to who he wants to. And what happens with that wisdom is that a simple man, I am in high school, a very average, a little lower than average student, not a smart person at all, not reading, chasing a ball around a field. That's what I could do for hours, laughing with my friends and doing the whole thing. But you know what? God is real. God is real. He will take a simple man and give him something. And this book opens up. And there's something now you become interested in and have an increased capacity, and you stop sinning. You actually stop sinning like the way you used to. You're not without sin, but God has given you a change of heart and mind and understanding. But it's sad. What does the country need? We have huge problems. Big thing, greatest thing we need is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. What will wisdom do? Just read the many Proverbs, what wisdom will do. It will establish my thoughts. I got something, I'm not going to be moved. No matter what happens to me on the outside, I'm established in thoughts that came from God. He establishes our meditation, our hearts, our thoughts. He establishes us. We get rooted and grounded in it. We're able to detect or avoid crazy things that are blind and wicked. So let's turn now to Acts 13. We've got two portions. We might get through one. It's just a reference. We'll touch on Acts 13. Paul went to do missions in South Dakota. Nobody knows that, but hey, if the Vikings could go to Minnesota, Paul could go to North Dakota or South Dakota. Okay. They called me from South Dakota. They're having a great time. They sent a little video. I'm so happy for what the Lord is doing in the body. Guys, all of this mission work in the United States, I think it's from our COVID lockdown, our reset button, spiritual reset button, our desire, our life of faith, our willingness to share what's happening in our country and the love for our country to bring the gospel wherever we can go in the United States. So I think that's what's, you know, going on. And I don't, you know, it's the Lord moving us in this way. So Paul went on a mission, Acts 13, and he was sent. And there was a sorcerer. This is in Cyprus. And they had gone through the isle unto Paphos. They found a sorcerer, verse 6, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus, that's what his name means, which was with the deputy of the country. Isn't it amazing that the devil has demonic people next to the governor of the country, next to the leader, next to the mayor, the governor, the president, next to the leader of the company? Is there a demon inside? Is there a demonized man in that building? Is there a demonized man on the committee? Is there a demonized man in the pulpit? Is there a demonized man in the pastorate? Is there a demonized man in the administration? Well, here it is. You know, I'm not all those things, but it's here. And I think the leaders are targeted by the devil, because a leader can affect millions of people. And demons in a man who has a lot of authority can do a lot of damage. Look up at our screen here. If this man, Bar Jesus, is actually a fool and wisdom is too high for him, then he's actually a potential tool for the devil. Because God resists the proud. God is not with the proud. He resists the proud. The demons are attracted to a proud man who has authority. That's why every one of us must be very careful to walk in humility. Because we can cause a lot of trouble. We can cause a lot of trouble because we're not wise. And a wise man, one of the marks of a wise man is how he can control his tongue. James 3. A man who can control his tongue, that's a gift. And he's able to control his whole body because he has authority from God through wisdom. Wisdom from God. It's not too high for him. He's able to understand. He's able to relate. He's able to embrace it, believe it, and also obey it and be established by the engrafted word that is able to save my soul. I'm saved eternally, but in practice, many Christians, they get chewed up and spit out. And Jesus said that, didn't he, about Peter. Satan is desired to have you and sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. When you are converted, when you become wise, when you get rooted and grounded, when your life changes, when you increase in me, when you walk with me, then convert the brethren. Teach them, lead them, guide them. It's needed. Okay? Lastly is 2 Timothy 2. And someday we'll do a full message on this text. It's absolutely incredible. I've been reading it for some weeks. And verse 14, 2 Timothy 2, 14. We have, of these, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Let me write it this up here. In this text, from chapter verse 14 down through 14 down through 26, but it's actually shorter, but I wrote down these words. Strive, words, to no profit. Some people get in arguments about all kinds of things. You know, masks. You wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. Vaccinations, politics, a lot of words, views on many issues. You have to be careful how you speak and what you speak about. What is it of any profit? Or is it going to be some divisive thing? Look at it says, profane babblings, foolish. Where's the word in there? Look at verse 16. But shun profane, meaning avoid profane and vain babblings. They will increase unto more ungodliness. A man or a woman that is upset, they are upset, they are struggling with things, they are upset. You need to learn how to process that and seek God, not a solution, like in a human sense. That's not what the way to live. I might have a solution. We might resolve it. I may go to them alone and so on. That might be good. But they have proven that conversations and communications in marriages does not help. in every case. I mean, there's statistics on it. But my point is, talking isn't the point. Talking is not the point. Wow, what a good word. Talking is not the point. I'm going to have fun here. Talking, it is not the point. You may not resolve anything by talking. You know what might resolve? Taking a towel and getting down and being quiet and washing the feet. Being quiet for 3 years. Stop talking for 3 years. Stop arguing with your wife for 3 years. Love her and speak to her. Encourage her. Get wisdom. Talking about things isn't necessarily wisdom. Is that wisdom? It may increase to more ungodliness. It just divides. It just shatters people. They say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. I don't find it edifying. I'm so discouraged. I don't want to meet another discouraged person, a combative person, an arguer, a striker. I'm not interested in it. Go to the next portion, please. It goes verse 16. Increasing unto more, their word will eat as a cancer. Verse 17. Their word will eat as a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who say the resurrection is past already. That was a Gnostic spiritual / heresy where they say we are all resurrected. Like now we would say in this church, we've already been resurrected. You just don't realize it. We're already resurrected. We have our mortal flesh, but we have a spiritual resurrection. It's already happened. That's what resurrection means. And Paul is saying it's a heresy. It's not true. There is a resurrection coming. One day, that's the rapture. He teaches it. But these two men are in the church talking like this. And we're just looking at these words, and I'm going to finish it up here. Look at verse, ignorant. We have the word ignorant there. We have the disputer. And we have they generate strife. And will they ever get out of it? It may be they don't ever. That's the end of chapter 2. You read it. A teacher, a pastor, has to be apt to teach and very patient with these people. Very patient. He has to love them and lead them. But they have to stop it. They have to learn and go this way. Where is it? They need this model here. They need to give it up, trust God, worship God. God's in charge. God's going to work it out. God's in the business of taking care of his church. And the Apostle Paul is saying that the church is not a place for us to be fighting. It's not a place where we're to be arguing. A marriage is not a place. It's a place where we together, we can say to each other, we need the church, we need the word. I want to grow in my faith. And my marriage is kind of like, to be honest, it's a part of my life that's very important to me, but one day it ends. And my life with God does not end. And wisdom doesn't end. And satisfaction in life doesn't end. And our hearts and minds are geared to God. And how about my job? It's a similar thing. It's subject to God's plan. Raising a child. That child is not my child. It's God's child. That's subject to God. Wisdom sees. Jesus said, consider the ravens. It didn't mean the football team. But consider the birds of the air. Consider the fields. Consider. You get it. Get it. It's passing. But God takes care of the birds and the fields, and he takes care of us. And we learn this, and we gain this, and we give it up. I am amazed, I am shocked by when this pandemic started a year and a half ago, and how the American people, how much fear, how much insecurity, how much instability, how much confusion, how much lingering effects are there today in our society? How much dependence there is on other, you know, like, where's the solution? Or the vaccination, for example, which I'm not against that. But I'm saying, why is it always trouble? Why is there always trouble? Why is there always trouble around it? Why is it always like that? And the answer is people don't have wisdom. They don't have it. This is nothing. We don't have any. Come on. We've got the greatest thing. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Proverbs 4:8. What will wisdom do? It will guide us. It will direct us. It will help us. It'll motivate us. It'll feed us. It'll be our new way of life. It'll be understanding and new appetites and new appreciation. And God is at the center of it. And we love God more. Or we recognize God more. Or we see God more. We read the Gospels and they speak to us. We follow Jesus and we trust him. And notice here one last thing. It looks like I'm a fool, but I'm not. The wisdom of God is foolishness to men. The wisdom Almighty God is to men foolishness. It's the last thing they need. They don't talk about it. They don't think about it. It's not. They don't get it. It's too high for them. It's too high for them. And so we go as a missionary to Cyprus. Paul goes there. He sees the governor. And this man is an evil man, and he's resisting Paul. He's actually a fool. He's actually a tool of the devil. He's actually in bondage. He's actually needy. And Paul dealt with him, as you read it in the story. And I'm just simply trying to say, there are people amongst us, they don't have a capacity. Sodom and Gomorrah did not have a capacity. That guy in Cyprus did not have a capacity. But that's not a problem, because we are in a world where it's just that it's not working. They don't get it. They are not fearing God. They don't care about God. And so they are in trouble. There's a kind of misery and a bondage and a blindness. But I got to say that by the new birth, we become hungry for this. And by the new birth, we like search it out. We're more interested in it more than ever. And it never goes old. And it's not like a thing that tires you. Like Samson, remember, he was put in the wheel house. And he goes round and round like a donkey. Remember, they strapped him like an animal. And he went round and round in the wheelhouse without any eyes. He was in bondage, and that's what's happening in the world out there. They're round and round, and they can't get out. And we say, you know what? You have one solution for your problems. That's to fear. That's God. And he showed his love for you, and he loves you. And we're here to say, hold a time out. Get real humble before Almighty God, and he will take care of you. He will fill you with the Spirit. He will show you who Jesus is. He sent his son who died for you. And get serious about it. Get serious about it, because you're in trouble. And if you're not in trouble today, you will be tomorrow. Guys, you don't have a future. And it's God's mercy you're not dead. It's God's mercy you're still alive. And you should run to him as fervently and passionately as you possibly can, because you need him. And if you seek him, you will find him. Okay? That's it. Amen. Lord, thank you for the missions this summer. We love people. Help us to have the right messages for people, to help them, to reach them. We pray that people would be born again as a result of our efforts this summer. And we pray for P. Wistera in Romania today and all that's happening there. And Brent Hillinga is leading a team to Colombia, Latin America, in a short time from now, next week. And I think there's another thing going on, but we just commit it to you. Help us to love people and reach them with the seriousness of what's going on. And our prayers would be serious for this world we live in. Pray specifically for people at work. Rebuke the devil. Pray specifically for your family members. Pray specifically for things to change in people's lives. Pray specifically that you would commit your ways to God and he would establish you in Bible college. Get established, learning doctrine, becoming mature, understanding the days we're living, and being available to him, because he is your heavenly Father. If you're not saved, come to Christ today. Salvation is your choice. God has already shown you, I love you. He says, I love you. I died for you. Not everybody, yes. But you can say specifically you. If Augustine said, if one man had been on the earth, one man was lost, God would have sent his son to die for that one person. He loves you. And believe in him tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.